Before we head out for Kingdom Kids, I want to let you know about something that's going on. Who's a Kingdom Kid in here? I can't hear your hand. Can I hear you? Who's a Kingdom Kid? Me. Well, coming up is Summer Celebration. We have a video clip to show you what's going on. I'll give you some brief details right after this awesome video. How fun is that? So coming up August 5th through August 8th, we will be having our Summer Celebration here, Agents of Truth for our Kingdom Kids. 3 years old through fifth grade. We'll meet Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 9:30 to 12:30 with lunch provided. And then we'll have our family night on Friday night. And then we will have our middle school / junior high meet Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday night is their all-nighter. So that is all happening the week of August 5th through the 8th or 9th, depending if you're part of the all-nighter. So if you haven't registered yet, please do so. There's brochures and registration slips out in the foyer. Or if you want, you can register at the website, fmiconferences.org. And it's always a great, great, great time. So if you know of children in your neighborhood, family, friends, cousins, etc., please feel free to invite children. It's welcome, open to whoever would like to come. Okay? So that's Agents of Truth, August 5th through the 8th, our summer celebration. So don't forget to pick that up. And I believe our children are now released. No? Not yet. 1 second.
Yes, but I need Cameron in here. So
you need Cameron?
Teaching today, but I need him just for the beginning.
Okay. Kingdom Kids are released. And Cameron, if you can stay in for just a little bit. I don't know where you are.
I think you went down.
All right, before
get Cameron.
Before Pastor Bill starts and everyone scatters at the end, I just want to recognize a special guest in the audience. Yeah. Welcome, our beloved Paul Pierluzzi.
Yeah.
Welcome, Paul. For those of you that don't know Paul, Paul is a very, very longtime friend of us personally and of this church. Paul went to high school with those of us at Jackson High School. He has the same birthday as I do, which is extra special, January 19th, although he's a year older. And Paul and his family moved to Louisville, Kentucky. How many years ago, Paul?
3 years ago.
3 years ago, and so we have missed him desperately.
Oh, yeah.
And keep in contact with him via Facebook, but Paul has been a very, very integral part of this ministry and is still so connected with us in heart. And Paul, we are so honored and so blessed to have you here this morning.
Yes, Paul. Woo!
So if you don't know Paul, you'll want to get to know him. He is a guy you want to get to know. So make sure you introduce yourself after the service and give him a hug, shake his hand. All right.
That's right. Yes, Lord. Paul was at prayer on Friday night. That was fun, wasn't it, Paul? We prayed for the team members individually by name, and I love it when Paul prays for them. It's just awesome. I am going to ask that Cameron comes, and if he could just share what you shared with me yesterday, at least you know what part, I think. Grandma. There's a reason he's sharing this, so listen to this very carefully.
Okay. About a month ago, on a Friday, let me tell you first, my grandma has some type of congestive heart problem. And about a month ago on a Friday, she was on her way to the doctor, and sometime in the morning, she, like, had a problem where she would just, like, lock up. And she was going to the doctor that day, and as she got in the car traveling to the doctor, she had another episode of it, like where she would just like lock up. And she didn't know she was locking up. She had no idea. She was carrying on a conversation. She would lock up, and she would continue on her conversation like it never even happened. She got to the doctor, and she locked up again. And basically, the doctor told my aunt. My grandma lives with my aunt. And my aunt took my grandma to the doctor. The doctor told my aunt that basically she could probably go at any minute. That she could just... she'll lock up and won't come out of it. So that was on a Friday about a month ago. And then on a Saturday, I don't know where I was. My mom called me, say, hey, we need to go see grandma. She's having really bad problems. She could basically die any minute. And so I haven't seen my grandmother in six-ish years. And so... we get down there, and just the situation my grandmother is living in is not the most prime. She lives in a trailer park with my aunt. There's holes in the floor. She's in a hospital bed. She can't walk. She can't move. So we get down there. I walk in with my mom, my brother, and... walk in and then, oh, hi, everybody, all that jazz. You know, you haven't seen anybody in a long time. You say, hey, you know, I'm in college now. I'm 22, all that jazz. And I walk in, I see my grandmother. She's just laying there. You know, she can hardly move. And as soon as I walk in, I look at her. I was like, wow, I know I have to pray for you. And but how am I going to do this? And so she says, hi, Cameron, how are you? And... So she's like, come here, sit down. So I, like, go over to the hospital bed. I, like, pick her legs up. I move them to the side so I can sit down. And I'm just, like, looking at her. I was like, oh, my goodness. This is kind of horrible. It is horrible. Sit down. You know, we're just, you know, family chit-chat, all that stuff I just said. And I was like, man, looking at my grandmother. I haven't seen her in, like, 5 years. I know I have to pray for her. But how am I going to do this? I just don't want to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I don't want to be real awkward about the situation because my brother, my mother, nor my aunt, they don't go to church. They don't know the Lord. They don't know anything. And so I didn't want to just abruptly just say, slam them with a Bible and make it real goofy or awkward. And so I was like, God, can you just like open a window or give me some situation or just give me a path where I can start talking to my grandma? And we were talking about something, you know, it could have been, I told Pastor Bill, we were like talking about burnt tires on the floor. Something so way out in left field that it had nothing to do with what my grandmother said. She says, oh, honey, I watched Joel Osteen? I watched Joel Osteen on Sundays, and he was talking about this one message about something. I'm like, Grandma, where'd that come from? We're talking about tires over here on the ground. You can kick a tire. And then she just brings this up out of nowhere. I was like, wow, is that my window? I mean, it couldn't have been. So I was like, Grandma, funny that you brought that up. Do you mind if I pray for you? And so I get down on my knees right by her hospital bed, and I take her hand. And... excuse me. I ask her, Grandma, do you know Jesus? Do you know of Jesus? Do you know he loves you? All that jazz. You know he looks at you perfectly. That he looks at you clean, like you've done nothing wrong. That anything you've done in your life doesn't matter to him. He just wants to know you and love you. And excuse me. And so I was like, and I was telling her about God, you know, his love, all that jazz. And I was like, Grandma, do you wish to accept Jesus in your life? And she's like, yes, honey. So I start praying with her. And, you know, throughout the prayer, she starts crying. And, you know, about a month and a half prior to this, she had cataract surgery or something. And the doctor said she couldn't cry. Like, she shouldn't be crying. She should be suffering from severe dry eyes at all times. You should be putting water drops in her eyes. And she starts crying. And I'm like, oh, okay. And at the end of the prayer, I was like, Grandma, do you see the Jesus in my eyes? Or do you see his presence? Do you see his spirit living within me? And as throughout the prayer, she's like blinking her eyes, she's crying, and like I see like a new spark. I see a new life inside her. I was like, Grandma, I see that. I see the Jesus inside you now. And I didn't find out until she told me after the prayer. She's like, oh, honey, I'm crying. I shouldn't be crying right now. I had surgery. I shouldn't be crying. So I was like, wow, she's crying. And she says, I wasn't supposed to. It just is like, man, that's weird. And then I was like, Grandma, do you mind if I pray for your heart? Do you mind if I pray for your body? And by that time, I was praying for my grandma. You know, my brother, my mom, and my aunt, they start, you know, they walk out of the trailer and they're out in the driveway area. And so I was like, Grandma, let me pray for your heart, your body, your legs, all that jazz. And I started praying for her, and then my grandma, I mean, it was the weirdest thing. She's like, oh, honey, look at my legs. She's on her hospital bed, and she's like kicking her legs sporadically. And I was like, wow. This is weird. And it was even more funny, because my brother was on the outside of the living room window there, and he saw my grandma kicking her legs up and down. And she's like, honey, this is great. I want to get up and start dancing. She didn't start up and get dancing, but the fact that she was like kicking her legs sporadically like that, because I had to pick her legs up and move them to the side so I could sit down, and now she's like kicking them sporadically. And where else? Hold on. And then she's like, oh, and then my aunt came back in. My grandma was like, oh, honey, will you pray for your aunt? Will you pray for your aunt? Will you? And then my aunt, she gets real calm. She just gets real calm like this. And as I'm getting ready to approach her, I was like, Aunt Cindy, can I pray for you? Let me pray for you. She's like, oh, no, honey, I can't let you pray for me right now. It's okay. But I didn't get to pray for her, but I did get to throw the seed in there for it to start growing. And my mom saw what was going on. My brother saw what was going on. You know, I led my grandmother to the Lord, who was the first person I've ever led to the Lord. And she, my grandma was, seriously, the joy of the Lord is just so, I mean, she had just a whole different expression on her face. But as we're getting ready to leave, we're getting in the car. My brother, who is extremely intelligent, he's taken world religions classes. He knows the facts on religion, and he's hard nosed. He's just intelligent, and he knows the Old Testament pretty well. And he's like, that's besides the point. He says that the situation for my grandmother needs to be not only improved physically, but spiritually. And the fact that he said that her spiritual, something spiritually, anything like that came out of his mouth is like, what did you just say? You just got done telling me the other day about world religions class. We got in a little discussion. This is a little off topic. But he's just telling me these facts. He's like, what do you have to say about those? And the same thing goes along with my dad. Okay, back to the story. But my brother said this spiritual thing, and he saw what was going on. So it's just another cool thing to see my family is, you know, I'm throwing these seeds out, not really realizing it, and they're starting to, you know, sort of take sprout a little bit. But I think that's it, isn't it?
What about, what's the report now?
Oh, that's right. Oh, so it's been about 5-6 weeks, and my grandmother hasn't had a single lockup since then. So, That's it. So weird things like that do happen. So they do very well happen. So
pray out for your grandmother.
Pray out for my grandmother, okay. Lord, just anything that I say right now, I just don't want it to do anything other than point straight back to you, Lord. And Lord, just pick up to my grandmother to you that she can get out of that bed and start dancing around those horrible holes in the trailer. But she can leap over those holes and she can dance and get up and just praise. And that she's, since she's the one of the last people in my lineage that's alive, that she can really start fostering to the other family members in my family to say, hey, look what Jesus has done for me. Look what Jesus is inside me. And she can just express the love to her family that doesn't really know any type of love.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And we just thank you for your works, just our seeds being thrown out, and hopefully they're definitely taking root, and that they are sprouting without us knowing. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. Yes,
Woo! Yeah! Come on! I couldn't just keep that for me to hear. I had to let you all hear that. So awesome. And it just fits in so well with what I've been sensing in my spirit to share this morning about the fact that there is a cry inside each person. There's a cry towards the Father inside each person. Now, pride can keep that away from being expressed to God, and some people die that way. They never let the cry inside of them for a Father, for a Savior, for a person that they need so much in their life, pride can keep them from ever expressing that cry. But here's a situation where a spiritual pioneer in the family, he's the only Christian in his family. I was the only Christian in my family when I came to Christ. That you enter in saying, God, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to say. Am I going to blast people away? I don't want to do that. But I also want to share your heart. What do I do? And he comes in, and in their own mouth, puts something behind the cry in their heart so that you know they're ready. He's that good to do that. Now, can he put something in the mouth of someone that doesn't know Jesus? If they have a cry in their heart for God, they have a cry that they don't even know how it's supposed to be expressed, you bet. He can fill their mouth with a clue that's going to come across to you, and you're going to know this is their cry. And like Jesus in the Bible answered the cry of so many people, we are now answering the cry in people's hearts. It comes out of their mouth, or you'll see it in their eyes. They're ready. They're ready to meet Jesus. They're ready to come into their Father's house. They're ready to come home to their Father. You'll see the cry in their eyes, or you'll hear it off their own lips. They'll give you a clue that they're ready. How sweet it is when it's in our own family. When we're the pioneer in our family, or there aren't that many Christians, and we're saying, God, it's so tough to share with family. What do I do? What do I say? How do I start? They know all the holes in me. They can bring up all the holes. They're going to make all the arguments. And they know me. So they can say, well, you don't do this perfectly, and you don't do that perfectly. But the cry is there in some of their hearts anyway. And he'll even put in their mouth a clue for us, or he'll put in their eyes. They're ready. They're ready to come home to their father. And when we step into that, especially as a pioneer in our family, if you know, we're the only Christian that we know of in our family, God just rushes in with his grace and tugs on their heart to draw them to himself, and we can go ahead and start opening our mouth, and what comes out, sometimes we're shocked what comes out of our mouths. It's the entire gospel. And we're like, I didn't even know I could put that together. I didn't even know I could express it that way. I didn't know I had that much compassion behind it. It's supernatural, isn't it? As was expressed this morning in worship. It's supernatural because he's God. He's supernatural. He's above the natural. Always. Always. And when he enters into us, we act supernatural. We act on the supernatural. We act with the supernatural. We act with in cooperation with the supernatural. And suddenly, life is given out to people. Such life to them. As Cameron and I were sharing yesterday, and he was telling me about this testimony, I was saying, this has happened in my own family. I was the pioneer in my own family. And my mom, I was able to pray with her to clearly receive Jesus, my father, to clearly receive Jesus. And I had these clues. It came right out of either God showing me they were ready. The cry in them had reached a place where the pride could go and their cry could come out. And he would lead me to that place, or he'd give me a clue out of their own mouths. And when I would share, it was just like we were sitting down to coffee talking about the weather. It was so natural. It made no sense. We've never even approached this subject before about receiving Jesus. And yet, they're wide open. I remember after my sister received the Lord, and she passed away at 62 years of age and went on to be with the Lord. We were able to go up at just the exact moment. The Lord led us the exact moment to be there 24 hours before she passed away and let her recommit her life. She had prayed with us several years before that. But she felt she wanted to recommit her life. And basically with her last breaths, she was recommitting her life to Jesus at the exact time we should have gone up there. 500 miles from here. We arrived the day before. They brought her home, basically to die. And we're right there praying for her to be, you know, physically changed, healing. We weren't doing anything but contending for that. And then it came the conversation. She was open. The cry of her heart was to be ready because she had committed her life to Christ years earlier, but probably, you know, in that last moment, have I really given my life to Jesus? Had a question in her own mind. We're able to help her answer that question. And we left to go back to the hotel. She passed away during the night. We were able to go to the home while she was still in the home and pray for her resurrection. Now you say, well, that's crazy. Do you know that there are small-time little pastors and villages in Mozambique that they come to the school in Pemba, Mozambique, a training school. They know so little about the Bible. They're just willing to serve people. But they've already raised the dead. They prayed for someone in their village, and God has raised them from the dead. I think Ashley might be able to help me. She sent me a report from Iris Ministries, but I think there's two or three in the training right now or something from the report that she sent to me to read. two or three of these pastors that know hardly anything about the Bible, and they're coming in for basic training, but they've already prayed for someone there in their village, and they've come back from the dead. So we have that privilege. My sister didn't come back, but we were there with the family, able to, you know, be hopefully a ministry to the family while, all the events of the funeral and so on happen. So my uncle comes to the funeral, 83 years of age. He goes to the meal afterwards. He says, "Why don't you come up to my house? You never come. You should come to my house." "Well, I'm only in the area, it seems like, for funerals." You know, you kind of hate that that's the only time you visit. But I said, "Sure, we'll come up." So Josh and Christy and Mary Pat and I, we went up to his house. It wasn't far from there, from where the meal was. And I'm telling you, the cry was in his heart. We had no idea. He had lived across from a church for, I don't know, 20 years. Never went to the church. Never wanted to. But within 20 minutes, I would say, we're talking about spiritual things. He's in his favorite chair, and he is bawling like a baby about something that happened to him when he was 6 or 7 years of age. And it had kept him out of church all those years, kept him away from God all those years. The cry in his heart had been covered over with pain, and it had connection with spiritual things, the pain. And so he had kept that down for all those years, 75 years. One pain. And he's crying in his chair about it as an 83-year-old man. Incredible. And the Lord says, this is his time. His 78-year-old wife goes on her knees to receive the Lord. And both of them pray out to receive Jesus. He was blubbering through the tears. The healing that came to him about that pain early in his life was extracted. The cry had overcome the pain. The cry in his heart had overcome the pain. And Jesus answered the cry, as he does through us. He answers that cry in people. So I went up, I think the next summer, and I stayed at their house, and I went to a reunion that they'd been asking me to come up to for years and years and years. I sang over him songs about Jesus. He was so open to it. I sent them Bibles for them to read. And just, in the last 3 or 4 years, he passed away, and his wife as well. Now, think about that. The cry was inside of him, but it was kept down by pain. The cry can be inside someone and it's kept down by pride. But suddenly you show up. You've got the life-giving gospel inside of you that can change eternity for someone. And you can catch a clue from the Lord, like Cameron did. "Hey, I was watching Joel Osteen on TV. They're talking about tires." What? Cameron caught it. Young believer that he is, he caught that, and you can see inside of him what happened to him, let alone his grandmother. "I heard the Lord. I knew it was my moment to speak out the gospel. It wasn't hard," he was telling me yesterday. He doesn't even remember what he said. God is so gracious to fill us with that. Not only give us a clue or lead us to the moment when to share with someone that's so precious to us, or even a stranger, but he fills our mouth, just like he says he will, with the life-giving words that they need. We're not going around getting notches on our belt, are we? If we're wise, we certainly won't feel that way. "Well, I went after so-and-so. They need Jesus." It's nowhere, should be nowhere in our hearts. We should be looking for Holy Spirit's answer to their cry, just like Jesus. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Two accounts of the same event with blind Bartimaeus. So I asked myself, why did he call him son of David? Why not just say, "Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth"? Why does he call out, "Son of David, have mercy on me"? That was the first question I asked. And then later on, he says, he calls him Lord. He calls him teacher. He calls him Lord. And then Jesus immediately heals him, calls him to him and heals him, and then says, "It's your faith that's made you well." He's just crying out from the side of the road when he finds out Jesus is going by. But he is saying something in what he's crying out that shows he's totally open and he's filled with faith. The things he cried out, "Son of David," that's like saying, "You are the king and I know it. You are the Messiah and I believe it. I'm going to call you by the name that no Pharisee will call you by. No Sadducee will call you son of David, because that's a messianic title. They won't do it. In fact, they'll accuse you. They'll try to take you out. They'll be negative about you if you ever even act like you belong next to that name of son of David." But this blind man says it right out loud. His cry is, "Son of David." What is he saying? "You are the king of the earth. You're going to reign. You are the king of kings, the lord of lords. You are the Messiah that we've been waiting for. You are the one sent. And I can't see with my physical eyes, but spiritually I embrace you. I want you in my life. I want you to touch me. No, he doesn't say, Jesus, I'm blind, heal me. He simply calls out his name and asks him to help. He knows good things will happen when it's the King of all the ages. It's the God of the universe in the form of Jesus. So Jesus asks him an interesting question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, he's ushered over to Jesus. Obviously, he didn't probably just walk over there. Probably didn't have a guide dog back in those days. And they usher the crowd, you know, that said, shh, quiet, quiet. And then suddenly Jesus calls for the guy. Oh, hey, time to go, time to go. You're being called. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Hey, who? Do you know some people like that? It's quiet, quiet, quiet until, oh, hey, guess what? Come on. They stop you spiritually until it's okay. It's kind of like Cameron's brother. Argue with him about spiritual things, and then all of a sudden, you know, grandma needs something spiritually. That's a miracle. That's not just a seed. That's changing the atmosphere as he walked into that home. Incredible. Incredible. And so Jesus is looking at a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? I mean, wouldn't it be obvious? Come on. Did Jesus kind of turn over here for a second to talk to somebody? Oh, what do you want me to do for you? Didn't see he was blind? I don't think so. I think he was looking right into his eyes. He wants him to cry out. Make it public. He wants him to say it to the Lord of the universe, to the King of Kings, to the one the guy is crying out his name. Tell me what you think your need is. He pushes him, so to speak, to speak out his need. And he calls him teacher, that I may receive my sight. You're teaching us that though I'm blind, I see spiritually. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders, though they see physically, spiritually they're totally blind. Here's something for you to munch on. You can know everything about the Bible, in the Bible, verses in the Bible, passages of the Bible, and you probably wouldn't even be able to compete with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the thing you can have that they didn't, or if someone prides themselves today with, I know the Bible, these people aren't biblical, these people aren't this, they're not that, they're no, what you have is revelation from Holy Spirit, to interpret it the correct way. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders had Jesus right in front of them, the Messiah, the one sent from God, the one that will be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, will reign for 1,000 years sometime in our future. They had him right in their midst. He's doing all the things that the Messiah is supposed to do, but they thought he was supposed to get rid of the Romans. And he didn't even lift a finger to do that. And so they said, oh, it's not the right guy. He's not from the right place. He's not the right guy. They misinterpreted all of their knowledge. They missed. They missed it. He's right in front of them. They didn't have a cry in their heart for him. They had a cry in their heart for what they knew about the Bible. Don't make that mistake. You need revelation to understand all that's here, even if you know the Bible. It has to come from Holy Spirit to get the right leading in the Bible. How many places do we know they say, we want to follow Jesus? And they're leaving out two-thirds of what Jesus did. We'll follow Jesus in this way, but not these other ways. Healings. You heard the reports from Mozambique. There are those that don't know Jesus, they would say, that can't be true. A blind woman healed? A deaf person, deaf boy healed? Come on, that doesn't happen. But there can also be Christians that do the same thing. He doesn't do that today. That was just when Jesus was around. That's when his disciples, apostles, when they were going around, running around, trying to spread the gospel, that healing was for them. Well, guess what? It's not. It's for today, too. Woo! That's cool. We've seen it in this building. We've seen it in different nations. We've seen it downtown in Canton, putting up a little tent and drawing pictures for people. And people get healed. We've seen it with Cameron's grandmother, the latest report. Why isn't she having those glitches now? Why was she having them one right after the other? Well, it just happened that way. No, no, no. Jesus heard her cry. He listened to her cry. And he responded, just like he did with blind Bartimaeus. So blind Bartimaeus says, "Your teacher, your Rabboni, your teacher, your rabbi, because you're teaching us that though they see in the physical, they can't see spiritually. Though I can't see in the physical, I can see spiritually." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So in one account it says, he says, "Teacher." In the other account it says, "Lord." So he probably said both. He said, "Lord." Why did he say "Lord"? Because personally, he had decided to respond to the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, whether we respond to it or not. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He doesn't need us to recognize that for him to be that. He doesn't need anyone on the earth to recognize it, to have that revelation. He just is that overriding Messiah, that over and above Lord. He's King of Kings, whether we agree to it or not. But if we personally agree to it, then he's our Lord. We have bended our knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we accept him as our ruler. And so this guy says, "You are the top ruler. You are over all. You are Messiah. You are the sent one. You are fully God in every way." When he's crying out, he gets a little closer to Jesus. "You're teaching me. You asked me that question because you're a teacher. What do you want me to do for you? You know what I need. But you're teaching me to cry out. You're teaching me that I need to speak it out. I need to speak out the cry in my heart. I need to get over any pride," which I don't see any in this guy. He's crying out in the middle of a crowd that's telling him to quiet down, knock it off. What are you doing? It didn't matter. He just kept crying out. So he's gotten rid of the pride issue. He's got to make sure that he's got rid of all his issues. And he does. He says, "Lord, I'm willing to be taught. I'm willing to accept your high lordship and personal lordship." And when he did that, he was healed of blindness. And he couldn't help it. He had to just follow along after Jesus. I mean, he had been begging at the gate. That was his life. Now, everything had changed. And he could follow after Jesus. And the atmosphere in the crowd, they're praising God. They're going after Jesus, you know, they're still going after him and so on. But they had a different reason now for following Jesus. Maybe many of them were curious before. "Hey, don't bother this teacher. Don't, you know, okay, come on, we're all following. You know, if you can't do that, just sit there. But don't be crying out. We're going to go follow and see what he does."
What's he going to do? What's Jesus going to do today? Curious. But I think many of them, their hearts were changed because of a blind man. They saw Jesus differently as they went with the blind man after he was healed. Now they're praising Jesus, not just curious anymore. Now, not all in the multitude probably did that, but I bet there was a change in the atmosphere enough that there were those that did that. And it's what happens in our families as you are a witness of who Jesus is in your families, in your friends, in your circle of acquaintances, in your the people you work with, in strangers. We can walk up to a stranger in downtown Canton and the atmosphere is so changed, they take the drink in their hand and put it down, the cigarette, they put it out. Are we requiring that of them? No. We don't say anything about it. But I've seen them do it. They humble their heart for a moment and they're trying to see whether they can get over that pride in themselves. Some of them walk away and they have. Others walk away and they haven't. They haven't let the cry out because of pride keeping it down or pain keeping it down. They won't let that cry out. You know the good news this morning is? Most of the people in here have let the cry out. The cry out to God, be heard by God, and he's heard. You know, if you look in Psalms in the Old Testament or Proverbs and so on, it's constantly talking about God hearing our cry. If you haven't gone through the Psalms in a while, I'm going through the Psalms right now. It's incredible about crying out to God and him answering. I mean, David doesn't even seem to have a good attitude most of the time. Now, I try for a good attitude, before God at least. But he doesn't even try. He just lets it all out there. And God accepts him, and by the end of whatever psalm you're in, there's 150 of them, so whatever psalm you're in, he seems to have been turned around. His own personal atmosphere has been changed by being in the presence of God and crying out to God, even if he has a lousy, dirty, rotten attitude, a DRA, a dirty, rotten attitude. Doesn't matter. God just goes, I hear you. You're my son. I love you. I accept you. We're going to get this turned around. I'm for you, not against you. I'm beside you. I'm over you. I'm behind you. I'm under you. I'm carrying you. He loves hearing our cry. In my distress, Psalms 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. He heard. When we were a baby, sometimes mom and dad heard the cry, other times they didn't. Or they didn't want to. Or they had enough of hearing our cry. But God is not that way. He wants to hear every cry from our heart. And our problem is we think he gets tired of it, I think. And so we don't do it. Or we don't cry out for other reasons. Who knows? There might be 100 reasons why we don't cry out to God. This morning, like last week, I said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And we're doing that with a smile. We're not going, search me, God. I'm sin on a popsicle stick, you know. We just come before him and open up our hearts to him in joy, knowing he's the one searching. Maybe some of you before last week thought, you were the one searching your heart. It's not good enough. Me searching my heart, it's just not good enough. Opening up and let him with his searchlight search my heart, that's good enough. That'll show things in me that I can't see myself. It's like I'm the blind man, and I cry out to God, search my heart, and he searches my heart, clears up my blindness to my own blind spots in my life. He has to be the one doing the searching. Maybe that's the switch we need to make in our hearts. You search me, God. I've been searching and, yeah, come up with some stuff, but I don't really want to search too hard because it's not too hard to come up with stuff. And so I don't do the search that often. But if you're crying out to God, he'll do a search and he'll be absolutely just, won't he? He'll be absolutely fair. He's going to point out the good and the bad inside of our hearts. But he has the power to take out what is evil in us and lead us in the everlasting way. And he has the power to praise us, lift us up, give us encouragement in the areas where we are, do have a heart after him. Do you think it was encouragement for Bartimaeus that when people were telling him to be quiet, Jesus himself said, I want to hear that cry. You bring that boy over here. You bring that boy over here. And Jesus is not sitting there going, oh, he's blind. Oh, wow, I can't do anything about that. Maybe we shouldn't bring him. No, he's fully able to take care of anything inside of us. If we have sin, he saved us. He died for it. If we need healing in our bodies, oh, he has a name for it. Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. Wow. Do we understand everything about it? No, we're kids. We're children. We don't understand everything about healing. If you do, I want to know. Share the treasure. Because I don't. I don't understand everything there is to know about healing. But just like Cameron, we just put our hand out and see what will happen. Josh is a doctor and he's seen healings. Wow. Think of that. You're in the emergency room and you are a dual weapon. You have the medical arts and you have the Jesus in you. And, you know, think of it. You have to start asking Holy Spirit, which one and how much of amount of which one do I use here? He puts us in those spots so that we'll cry out and say, I don't know what to do. And some marvelous things happen in the emergency room. You're placed in your family. If you're one of the only Christians, you are a pioneer. You have a responsibility, but a great responsibility. You can turn around your family tree. Some of our family trees are upside down, growing into the ground. We need to get them the other way around so that their roots are in the living water of Jesus and growing up the proper way. Another thing about crying out is we could spend all our time crying out for ourselves. I'm suggesting you do some crying out. Maybe it's been a while, just like maybe last week when I was suggesting to ask God to search you. Maybe it's been a while. Same way with this, but the thing is, you're supposed to be, you know, like a laser scanner or something, looking for the needs of others. Some of you are better at it than I am. I hear the reports. Well, I was in so-and-so, and I suddenly thought, what could I give away to them that would be life-giving? And sometimes I'm thinking while you're sharing that, gee, I was with so-and-so and didn't get a thought like that at all. Okay, I could improve. Good, good. All right. So I'm listening very carefully to you. And you're looking for the cry. That's what you're looking for. Cameron didn't know it, but he was looking for the cry in his grandmother, and it came. You are looking for the cry with people you're with. That's what Jesus did. You know, when he was in the crowd, jostled around and everything, some guy's calling from the side, he could easily ignore it, but no, he's God, And it says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. He allows that. But beyond that, you have a responsibility to look for the cry of others. If we just go around and say, well, this isn't going right in me, and this isn't going right in my life, and this isn't going right in my life, and this isn't going right in my life, you're not going to experience the fullness of life. Because sometimes when we reach out to listen to the cry of someone else, suddenly many of the cries in us are solved. Did you hear that? When we respond to the cries of someone else, the children of Mozambique crying from Africa, we send a team over because Jesus heard their cry. He says, go to Mozambique, minister to those kids. Kids crying? And we spend thousands of dollars to send a team over there. Jesus says, I can handle the bills. Send them. They're crying in Africa. And those kids get their cry answered. Some of them received so much from God, they're dancing. And the one girl you saw up here drew closer for more. Their cries are being answered by God. Because those team members could just be listening to their own cries this summer here. Well, I need a better job. I need a job. Gee, my family's not quite right. Wish something would happen there. You know what? I haven't gone shopping in a long time. The cry of my heart is, new wardrobe! I could find a better place to live. I know it. If I would just spend time crying out on that. They put all whatever those cries were aside. Maybe they're crying out in their quiet time or whatever. But for the most part, answering anything right here on the spot for those 2.5 weeks. And they went to Africa to respond to the cries of people and children in Africa. It's an example to us. It's God showing us that's what we should be doing in our daily life. Yes, we have our own cries, cry out. But also, some of those are going to be solved by listening to the cries of others around us. And we need to encourage each other to do that, don't we? Continually encouraging one another to listen to the cries of people that are precious to God, that come to our ears, and we know Jesus, and Jesus lives inside of us. And he's wanting to use us now to say, hey, bring that blind person here. Bring that person with a hurt in their heart here. Bring them. I will help them by the power of Jesus. I don't have it within myself. I'm too weak. But with Jesus in me, I can do something about this situation. And some of you have been used that way in the last 24 hours. And you can celebrate that God's doing that in your life. You do that when you get over yourself and lead worship. Because there's things crying out inside of you like, sleep. I need sleep. I feel like I'm a dirt ball today and I'm supposed to be leading worship. You have to get over those things because the people out here are crying for worship, crying to be led into the throne room. So anything that you do in the body, you're listening to some cry within the body. Some cry in this group, and you're responding to it to help this group. It might be as simple as, we don't like dirt on the floor. We don't like to trip over dirt balls on the floor, and you're the one doing the vacuuming. There's a cry that's being met there. We don't like the place dirty. God, send us someone with a vacuum. And you walk in with the very tool that's needed. You say, well, that's silly. Jesus If you give a drink of water in my name, I take note of that in the kingdom. Simple things. Well, I'm just sweeping the floor. You bet you are. For others to enjoy a place to come to. You're answering cries all the time if you're a believer with Jesus' heart. Because that's what he did. That's what he did. Sometimes we don't know what to do with the cries. So we cry out for wisdom. Resources. People come sometimes, they have needs. The nations are calling with needs. The resources here might be fewer than what we need. So we cry out to the one that has all the resources, the cattle on 10,000 hills and so on. How in the world did this small group purchase this building and the land here in Jackson Township in 2012? How in the world? That was a miracle. Absolute, total miracle. And then have it refurbished. The place refurbished. How did that happen? We cried out. We didn't have the resources in our pockets. But we cried out. Now we don't have to answer to Charter One. Or, you know, one of those other places. It's good to cry out and hear the cries of others and respond to them with the heart of Jesus. So, Father, I'm just praying for this beautiful group of people. God, that they will open up their hearts and not let anything stop them from crying out to you. Not let anything stop them from letting you search their hearts. And God, you will show us the cries of others. That will be part of the search that you'll do on our hearts, and you'll have us respond over here and respond over there. You'll help us see the clues. You'll help us be in a constant conversation with Holy Spirit, responding to people, your treasure, loving them, caring about them, not condemning them, but offering a way to be connected with their real Father in heaven, a way to come home. God, we offer that to people from our heart because we see their cry in the Spirit. Sometimes physically in their eyes. Sometimes we hear it physically off their lips. But it's being read in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit. And we can catch it all and see it, mighty things happen. God, they're doing that in Mozambique as we speak. They're responding to the Spirit as he helps them see and hear and observe the cries of the people in Mozambique. And America needs us to respond just as much. In fact, probably fewer things are covering over the hearts of the Mozambicans. But here we have all our arguments. We have all the institutions to tell us that God is not real. And so there might be many more things covering over hearts of people here. But God, you're the God of the breakthrough. You're the one that opened up the Red Sea. You're the one that healed that blind woman. You're the one that healed that deaf boy. You're the one that healed blind Bartimaeus. You're the one that started a healing in Cameron's grandmother and salvation in her heart because she received Jesus, seeing her need, crying out to him, and he sent Cameron. God, do the same with us. Send us. To the ones that are willing to cry out, to get over their pride, to get over their hurt, and cry out for you. We want to bring them home, Lord. We want to bring them home. Yes, Lord. I sat daily at the gates begging for my meal. I'd heard of a Nazarene. The people say he heals. Could it be a true account, or is it just a fantasy? Will this man open my eyes so that I can see? If you would, Jesus, I would praise you. If you could, I would worship you as King of Kings. If you will, I'll give you glory, glory to your name. Yes, I'll bring glory to your name. When he passed, I followed him, crying out so loud, "Oh, have mercy, Son of David. Can he hear me in this crowd?" Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, let me receive my sight. That's all I ask of you." And when you do, I will praise you, Jesus. I will worship you as King of Kings. I will praise you, Jesus. I'll give glory to your name. As he healed my blind eyes, he said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And when my eyes were open, I could not wait to tell. I will praise you, Jesus. I will worship you, King of Kings. I will praise you, Jesus. I'll give glory to your name. If you only have the faith of a mustard seed, you know you can believe. And you can say to that mountain over there, "Go into the sea by the power of prayer." Praise you, Jesus. I will worship you, King of Kings. Praise you, Jesus. I'll give glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for hearing the cry of our hearts this morning. And thank you for making us sensitive to the cry of other hearts that you will place right in front of us. Help us to see the clues. Help us to ask you for the wisdom. Give us the presence of mind, truly the presence of Holy Spirit mind, to recognize when someone has broken through their pride, broken through their hurt, and they're crying out for more of you, a touch from you. Father, we present ourselves to be used in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget lunch at Bueller's. Pay it forward, which means if you see someone that you would like to pay for their lunch today, that's an option. You don't have to pay for anyone's lunch, but you can do that if he lays it on your heart to pay for someone's lunch today at Bueller's. You just turn out of the parking lot left. You go down to the intersection on Fulton and Wales and turn left. At least that's one way in. And you'll see Bueller's back in that shopping area if you haven't been back in there. And they have a restaurant. We are in the room in the back.